Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann. And you send email messages to the show, goforward.gann@gmail.com. That's goforward.gann@gmail.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at goforwardgann. That's goforwardgann. And that's where you can follow me on Twitter. Make sure you follow me because I like to follow you, and you can follow me. We can follow each other. Expected to be joined by WBC welterweight champion Andre Berto. Came off an impressive performance against Freddie Hernandez. Dropped him in the first round KO, TKO, and Berto stays undefeated. And Berto continues his march and his journey. Right now he's undefeated fighter. And he's been doing his thing. He's definitely been doing his thing, and he's making a name for himself in the boxing game. And right now, you know, he's on the short list for a shot at Manny Pacquiao. So that would be a good situation for him. And that would be a great situation for him and a big fight for him. And whether he's ready, that's another discussion for another day. But you have to take advantage of the opportunity. The opportunity may be Manny Pacquiao. Who knows what's next for Andre, but we'll definitely talk to him about that and other things as well. But I want to start right now in the NBA, and I want to start with the Miami Heat right now, a team that at one point everybody was saying maybe they're not as good as we thought they would be. Maybe, just maybe. But right now they're on a winning streak, seven in a row, routed the Golden State Warriors last night. Dominated the Golden State Warriors 106-84. And right now you're getting that 1-2 punch with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. And right now they played well last night. Dwayne Wade, 34 points, 9 assists. Excuse me, 7 assists and another 9 rebounds. And also LeBron James did his thing. And LeBron James has been doing his thing, but LeBron James did his thing with 25 points and 9 assists. So right now, the Miami Heat are playing at a great level, a very good level right now, 7 in a row. And right after that meeting, that players-only meeting they had, they talked about some things, and they've been going well ever since that meeting. Maybe it was the meeting, maybe guys needed to talk things out, or maybe it just was a chemistry issue and guys needed to figure out what they needed to do to be successful within this ball club. And if you look at it, and I've said this before, Dwayne Wade missed pretty much all of preseason, played 2 minutes of a preseason game. So he's missed the whole preseason game. So it's going to take time for him and LeBron to learn how to play with one another. I mean, these guys are used to being the guy and used to dominating the basketball. But right now, they're learning to play with one another, play off one another, and it's been successful. It's been very successful to a tune of 7 victories in a row, to a tune of 7 in a row. And right now, this is a team that is looking like that team that we all thought they would be when the season started. They're 16-8, and they're doing some big things right now. And they came off, you know, one of the knocks with this team is not beating a plus 500 team on the road. And they did that in Utah where they avenged that loss that they had against the Jazz, when Paul Millsap had that incredible game in Miami. They avenged that loss, and they beat Utah 111-98, and that was a big victory for them. And so right now they're proving that they can also beat some good teams. And I have to acknowledge that when looking at their schedule only, they beat two plus 500 teams, and that was Atlanta, and that was also the Utah Jazz. So they haven't been playing big-time teams, but if they do play Sacramento team again, they play Sacramento tonight, and not a top basketball team, but they play Sacramento tonight. Then after Sacramento, they go to New Orleans on Monday. They play New Orleans Monday night at home. So that should be some indication of where they stand. They also go to the Knicks on Friday, December 17th, and that's a New York Knicks team that has been playing some great basketball right now. Amari Stoudemire, Stat, as he's affectionately known as, standing tall and standing talented. He had 36 points last night and another 10 rebounds for the New York Knicks. And he's playing at a great level himself, an MVP caliber level. And right now, the New York Knicks, don't look now, but the New York Knicks are 15-9. They're 15-9. He had over 30 points again last night, 36 points, 10 rebounds. And he actually messed around and had a triple-double with 11 turnovers. Not a good triple-double, but a triple-double nonetheless. And, again, his seventh straight 30-point game matched the mark set by former Knick, Willie Nahlis. And right now, he's playing well. He is playing some great basketball. And during those seven games, the Knicks are 7-0. He's averaging 34 points a game, shooting close to 60% at 58.6%. He's also averaging 11 rebounds a game. So this is a guy right now who is putting some big-time numbers up and is putting up MVP caliber numbers. And the guy that's leading his Knicks team, and right now the Knicks team are surprising a lot of people, and 7 in a row, 15-9, and they're also 10-4 on the road, which is very impressive. 10-4 on the road, that's very impressive. But we've got a challenge this week. There's some challenges this week for the Knicks team, and we should get an indication of what kind of team they are. Denver, the Nuggets on Sunday. All three are home games, mind you. The Nuggets on Sunday, the Celtics on Wednesday, and the Heat on Friday. So three straight home games against three legitimate teams. From that, you should find out what kind of team you have. What kind of team you have. And actually, if you look at their next eight games, Denver, Boston, Miami, Cleveland, the game they should win, Oklahoma City, Chicago, at Miami, and at Orlando. So the next eight games, you should be able to find out a lot about this New York Knicks team, how good they truly are. Are they a contender in the East, or are they a eighth seed in the Eastern Conference? So this week, for the next couple weeks for the New York Knicks, should tell you a lot about this team. Home against Denver, home against Boston, home against the Heat. They go to Cleveland, the game they should win, home against Oklahoma City, home against Chicago, and then they go to Miami, and then they go to Orlando. Again, we should find out a lot about this New York Knicks team in these next 2 weeks. We should find out a whole heck of a lot about this New York Knicks team in the next couple of weeks. So that should be very interesting to see what goes on there, and it should be very interesting to see how this thing plays out. We are actually now being joined by WBC welterweight champion Andre Berto. Andre?
Hello. Yeah, how you doing?
Boys.
Good morning.
Doing all right. How you feeling?
Feeling all right. Just holding out the bed here a little bit ago. I'm good, though.
All right, Andre, in your last fight, you dominated Freddie Hernandez. You dropped him in the first round. And he stayed undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
in that fight, were you looking to make a statement? Because you definitely made a statement with that first round knockout.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was looking forward to, you know, making a statement. As you know, you guys know, I've been you know, getting a little bit of heat, but yes, I wanted to fight somebody that I definitely wanted to fight. You know, he pretty much had the same knockout ratio as me. You know, he's never been stopped, never been knocked down, and I wanted to go in there and make a statement with him. You know, I mean, and just to give you know, all the other big guys, and just continue to remind them that I still have that knockout power as well as the speed.
And you definitely demonstrated that in that fight against Hernandez. Now, mm-hmm. now put yourself in a good position now. I mean,
yeah.
you're in a great position. You have an opportunity to go against the big guys in
mm-hmm.
boxing right now. And there has been talk about you being in the running for Manny Pacquiao, you along with Shane
mm-hmm.
Mosley, you along with Marquez. What does a
mm-hmm.
guy like Andre Berto bring to a fight against Manny Pacquiao?
You know, I think I bring something, you know, that, I mean, that his last few opponents, you know, definitely didn't bring, you know. You know, like speed, you know, the youth, you know, tremendous power. You know, I mean, I believe the really only thing that all the other guys, you know, had up on me, you know, is experience, you know, because they are a lot older, and, you know, they fought in, you know, huge events. But, you know, you're dealing with, you know, a young, hungry fighter that continually, you know, shows that he's, you know, ready to perform on the big stage. He doesn't, you know, you know, back down, you know. I mean, like, under the big lights of the HBO shows. So, you know, he's ready to go.
Now, the WBC has ordered that you fight Selkirk Aiden, not
mm-hmm.
a very marketable fight. At this point, where does that situation stand?
You know, I'm not sure right now. You know, I'm not my team, you know, having that situation. But you know, I know that people in general, I mean, they just want to see many of these big fights. I understand that this guy here is mandatory and you know, just being a world champion, you're going to continue having mandatories. You know what I mean? And a lot of these mandatory, you know, fighters are guys that you really probably don't know. You know, so I'd rather
right.
continue trying to take the route of trying to fight these huge fights that I can. I mean, it's not the fact that, you know, of course you're going to have somebody like him, you know, say that, oh, I've been dodging them, or I'm scared, or whatever the situation is. But, you know, that's not the case. You know, I'm just looking forward to these, you know, these bigger fights. Like, this right here is business. Okay, if I go and fight him, knock him out the same way, and then what? You know, then
right.
what? So, you know, so I'm just looking forward to, you know, like the big fights ahead.
And one of the criticisms of you as a fighter has been you've been fighting, a lot of people like to say you've been fighting C-level opponents. And hearing that, how do you respond to something like that?
I mean, you know, I mean, I realistically, you know, not all too much you can say about it. You know, I've been in there, and you know, a tough competition. You know, I've been in there with guys like Stevie Forbes, which they say that was supposed to be my biggest test. I've been in there with, you know, Collazo, which they say was supposed to be my biggest test. And in my fight before this one, you know, a lot of people, you know, thought that, you know, Carl Quintana might be the one to beat me just because he beat Paul Williams and he was going to be my biggest test. So, you know, I just continue to go fight by fight, you know, beating these guys. And it just raises the expectation even higher. So I believe that, I mean, that people just will not get satisfied until I step in there with a Manny Pacquiao or Shane Mosley, somebody of that caliber. So realistically, you know, I take it, you know, somewhat of a compliment, man, because I'm the youngest here in the top 10, and I don't feel that people will be satisfied until I fight these top guys. So, you know, so they definitely, you know, recognize my talent, and they want to see me in there with the, you know, with the big guys and a tough competition. I mean, and I'm looking forward to it.
And now, tonight, a very big fight in the junior welterweight division. Amir Khan faces Marcus Maidana. I've been reading reports that Team Berto will definitely be watching this fight tonight. And with a keen eye. Are you watching and are you looking to fight the winner of the fight tonight?
I mean, I don't really know where we got too much of that report from. Hopefully I'll be able to catch the fight, but, actually I'm supposed to be going out to, have to watch another fight tonight over around this way in the Central Florida area. But I'm looking forward to, seeing a fight, because I'm a fight fan at the end of the day. So I want to see how the fight's is playing out with the co-main, actually, I'm more excited about the co-main event because I'm really good friends with Lamont Peterson, and I know, Victor Ortiz, so I want to see how that play out. And, I'm a fight fan at the end of the day, so I'll be looking forward to see how the fights, turn out.
And that is a big fight for Lamont Peterson, who is going up against Victor Ortiz. Do you think Lamont can pull it off tonight?
You know what, man? A lot of people... they really count him out, but I'm thinking that I think he's going to be able to pull it out. I mean, I came through the amateurs with him, ever since we were, pretty young, and I've seen his back against the wall, and in this situation, his back is definitely against the wall, and I know how those guys, very determined, so and I think he has something to prove, so I think he might pull off the shocker tonight.
And in January, another big fight at the junior welterweight division, Timothy Bradley, Devin Alexander. Does Andre Berto have his eyes set possibly on the winner of that fight?
I mean, my eye is just it's wherever it's leading, man. I mean, and I'm letting them guys, do their thing. Like I said, I know Tim Bradley as well. I've known him all through the amateurs. I fought Tim in the amateurs. And I know, Devin Alexander, through the amateur program as well. So, I mean, that right there is definitely going to be, for a very entertaining fight. I'm definitely looking forward to that, too. I think it's something that division wants. So I think the whole 140 class, they have enough competition to continue trying to compete with each other within this next upcoming year.
Andre, there is a lot of money right now that can be made at 140 with all the guys that we mentioned, Maidana, Khan, Alexander Bradley. Are you willing to go down to 140, or are you going to make guys like Bradley, Alexander, Khan, Maidana come up to you at 147?
Yeah, I mean, that might be the plan. That might be the plan. I doubt I'll try to make that way down to 140. I'm comfortable at 147.
Right.
I'm strong and fast at 147. And, big fight, comes along where we can make some big money. It's definitely something that I love to do. But in the meantime, all those guys are, extremely young. And I know how the networks work. They definitely want them to put their work in first and win a few more fights before they really want to put them into the multi-million-dollar fight. They can just, continue having that competition there, and I can continue to fight the competition at 47, which is, if it's the Mosleys, if it's Cotto, the Pacquiao, or whatever the situation is. And, we'll see what the future holds.
We're talking to Andre Berto, WBC welterweight champion. Andre coming off an impressive performance against Freddie Hernandez, KO first round. The great Bernard Hopkins has been on record as saying that Manny Pacquiao avoids black fighters. Do you believe that is the case?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think it was too many. They really had too many black fighters that were pretty much low at that weight that he could fight. And now he's in the 140-147 division class. I'm not sure, but Bernard, he has a point saying that he hasn't fought an African American fighter, but then again, at the end of the day, it's a business. I mean, if you need to understand, this is a business, and his promoter is Bob Arum, and Bob Arum knows where a lot of that money is, and that's having two foreign fighters which with big followings fight each other, which is Manny Pacquiao. He has a huge following in the Philippines, and just matching him up with Mexican fighters. I mean, it just makes a lot more sense business wise. So it's a lot of different ways you can look at it.
Now, like you said, right now you are the WBC champion, and right now you're an undefeated fighter. Where do you kind of see, how do you kind of see this thing playing out in terms of your next fight? Do you think Pacquiao will step up and fight you, or do you think you'll probably have to end up going elsewhere?
I'm not sure. Just like I said, I mean, it's business at the end of the day, and you know, his promoter, you know, Bob Arum, you know, he might take a different route, just because he probably can make more money, you know, fighting a guy like, you know, Marquez or Shane Mosley. It just has a little bit of a bigger name, and like, plus, yeah, they know that I'm definitely a threat. You know, like I said, I mean, and with competition, man, I love competition. I mean, one thing, I love competition, and you know, as the competition gets better, I definitely step my game up. So, you know, so I'm not sure. We're going to see what the future holds. You know, I'm not sure right now. You know, if I have a tremendous team behind me, and whatever route we decide to go, you know, it's going to be a big fight, and I think it's going to continue to see it, you know, my growth, and continue to see just a lot more exciting fights from me.
And you can pretty much acknowledge now that you feel that's pretty much time for you to step up and fight those big guys, the big names that are out there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, just like I said, I mean, I fought all the guys that they wanted me to fight, but at the same time, you know, I've been reaching out to fight a lot of these big guys within the last, you know, year or so, you know, so it's not me. You know, people need to understand that it's not me. You know, a lot of them on their ends with their teams, I mean, they don't want to do it. You know, a lot of people, they got misconstrued. They're just thinking that I don't want to fight these big guys right now. You know, if I could have fought them 2 years ago, I would have. But, you know, but this is business, and you know, both parties, they have to agree. And you know, hopefully now they don't really have too much of a choice.
And last year you were scheduled to fight Shane Mosley. That didn't happen because of the situation in Haiti. Mm-hmm. How are things going on in Haiti? How are things in Haiti at this point for you and your family?
You know, I still haven't been, you know, since after the fight, but I've been getting a lot of reports, and I have, you know, a lot of, you know, the foundation team that's been going back and forth. And, you know, we just know it's still a rough situation. It's still a tremendously rough situation over there. You know, it's not on the cover of every news, you know, every news site. But, yeah, people over there, they're still struggling. They're still living in tents, and they still need the aid and the help from us. So, you know, so we're just going to continue to doing what we have to do, like on the foundation, and we're going to continue trying to bring awareness and continue working with other, you know, foundations just to try to bring the aid to the country.
Is there anywhere that people can go to donate money or anything to Haitian relief?
Yeah, like people, they can continue, you know, always trying to reach out to me. I got a, you know, extensive, you know, group of people on my Twitter, you know, at Andre Berto, or you can go on my website, you know, AndreBerto.com, and, you know, find out a lot of information about my foundation and just about us, just in general, and what we're doing. So, you know. There's always just two there.
And Andre, we definitely thank you for stopping by today. Didn't mean to wake you up, sir.
No, I'm good. You know, anyway. I appreciate y'all for having me, definitely.
And when you announce that next fight, we got to come on and we got to talk about it.
Hey, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen, Captain.
All right, sir. Take care.
All right, boss. Take it easy.
All right. Andre Berto, WBC welterweight champion. Andre coming off an impressive performance against Freddie Hernandez. And now what's next for Andre Berto? I mean, is it going to be Pacquiao? Is it Mosley? Is it going to be Cotto? Who's it going to be? I would love personally to see him against Pacquiao. That's a fight. And I would love to, out of all the guys, Mosley, Marquez, and whoever, is in the mix. I would love to see him against Pacquiao because I think, like he said, he has the speed and he has the power that is comparable to Pacquiao, and I think that could give Pacquiao some fits. So that's the fight I would like to see, if my opinion matters to anyone or any of you, and if it matters to the promoters or Bob Arum or whoever else is out there, Golden Boy. If my opinion matters, I doubt if it does. But, again, I would love to see Andre Berto in there with Manny Pacquiao. So, Lou DiBella, promoter for Andre Berto, and Bob Arum, promoter for Manny Pacquiao, get this done. The number is to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pecan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pecan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. And you can follow this show and me at twitter.com/goforward.gan. That's twitter.com/goforward.gan, where you can follow me and follow this great show called Go For It. I want to switch gears now to the National Football League, mainly to the Big Eagle-Cowboy game scheduled for tomorrow, Sunday Night Football, big game for the Eagles, and something that really caught my eye and something that makes you a little nervous if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Asante Samuel will not play tomorrow against the Dallas Cowboys because of his knee injury. He was injured on November 15th and missed the last two games. And right now with him out, meaning Asante Samuel, you have Yoselio Hanson who will replace him, but you also have a situation now where the Eagles, without Asante Samuel, are definitely going to be affected against those Cowboy receivers of a Miles Austin, upper Roy Williams. And for the Eagles' sake, if you're an Eagles fan, you got to be a little I don't know if you're happy is the right word, but you got to be a little relieved that Dez Bryant won't be in this game. Because right now the Cowboys are playing at an all-time – they're playing at not an all-time level, but they're playing at a very high level right now. They're beating the Colts. They come off a victory against the Colts, and they're playing some good football, inspired football under new coach Jason Garrett. And when you saw this game earlier in the year with the way the Cowboys were struggling, you were saying to yourself, wow, this should be a great opportunity for the Eagles down the stretch because they have the Cowboys not only tomorrow, but they also have them last week of the season. So the next 4 weeks, they play the Cowboys twice. And you're thinking to yourself before that, this was your those were two W's. You counted that as two W's after you watched the way the Cowboys have been playing. But after they made the move and brought in Jason Garrett to replace Wade Phillips, you saw a different team right now. You saw a team that has played inspired, and you saw an inspired effort from guys like quarterback John Kitna to Shard Choice, played well last week. Roy Williams, of course, has stepped up his play. You have Miles Austin has been doing his thing. And you're starting to see the talent that everybody's been talking about with this Cowboy team. I mean, in the beginning of the year, the Cowboys were the fashionable pick to go to the Super Bowl. They were the pick that everybody, this is the most talented team, most talented roster, and they should go to the Super Bowl, or they should be at least in the mix. And everybody was talking that, but then they got off to a horrid 1-7 start, and they replaced Wade Phillips with Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator. He took charge, and right now, he's inspired this team. I mean, they beat the Giants, they beat the Lions, and they should have beat the New Orleans Saints if it wasn't for a Roy Williams fumble, but they should have won that game as well, and they beat the Colts in overtime. So the last 4 weeks, they went to New York and they went to Indianapolis, and they beat two teams that may make the playoffs, and right now two plus 500 teams, and the Giants and the Indianapolis Colts. And, like I said before, they had the New Orleans Saints beat. They had them beat. And if Roy Williams holds on to the football, that game is over. That's a victory for the Dallas Cowboys if Roy Williams holds that football. But he didn't. They lost. Saints made the play, and the Cowboys lost. But this is a big game for the Eagles right now. And it's the game for the Cowboys that you would like to play spoiler. The Eagles are your arch rival, and you want to play spoiler in this situation. And they're going to play well, and I expect them to play well. But also I expect the Eagles to play well, and ultimately I expect the Eagles with so much more to play for, and how strong-minded this team has been, how tough this team and resilient this team has been. And with the play of Michael Vick, I expect him to put up some numbers, and ultimately I expect him to get it done. But you also have to say with the Eagles defense, you still haven't. There's an opportunity for any team because the Eagles defense is not one of the better defenses in football, and it's been shown. The statistics have shown this. If you get into the red zone, you're going to score against this Eagle defense. So if you get in that red zone, you're going to score. And so with that being said, this is a great opportunity for the Dallas Cowboys and this offense, an offense that's been playing at a high, very, very high level right now. This is an opportunity. They're going to put up. They could put up some points too, and the Eagles' offense, I believe, can put up points as well. So this may be a high scoring affair here in Dallas, but I think it's going to be an affair where the Eagles do enough to get it done, and ultimately the Eagles will move to 9-4, in my opinion. And plus, you have to take into account the revenge issue, the revenge factor. This is an opportunity right now for the Philadelphia Eagles right now in terms of revenge. I mean, right now, if you look at it, they were blown out by the Cowboys for the final 2 weeks of the season, the last game of the season and the playoffs, 24-0, the last game of the season. That was for the NFC East title. And then in the playoffs, they trounced the Eagles 34-14. So on both of those occasions, the Dallas Cowboys blew the Eagles out. So maybe there's a little revenge factor here for the Eagles. Because right now they have that taste in their mouth from that playoff and from that final game of the season. And maybe this is where the Eagles will say, you know what, we owe you something, Dallas, and really bring it and put it on the Cowboys. But I really think the Eagles will win this football game. And it's going to be an exciting football game, as all these Eagle-Cowboys games tend to be. But it's going to be a game that I look for the Eagles to win. A little upset that Asante Samuel's not playing, but I think the Eagles will overcome it and get the job done. Also, Brett Favre practiced yesterday, but doesn't throw. Does not throw. And as we speak, right now there was a bunch of soft tosses that he threw during practice. So he wasn't throwing the football the way he normally throws the football. And right now, obviously to me, this whole thing is about protecting the streak. This is about the streak. Nothing more, nothing less. It's about the streak. And if you're Brett Favre, you want to protect that streak. You want to protect that streak. And right now, you want to continue to go and go and go and ultimately get over 300. You want to get over 300. Right now he's at 298 in terms of regular season starts. And if he plays tomorrow, it'll be 299. And if he plays the rest of the year, he'll end up at 302. So this is a situation right now. If you're a Vikings, in my opinion, your team right now, in your situation, you need to know what you have in Tavares Jackson. Brett Favre is 41 years old, and obviously he's not coming back. He's not coming back. He won't be back. And with all that being said, you need to find out and see what you have in Tavares Jackson. You need to see it. You need to see what you have there. You got to see what you have there. And you got to see whether Tavares Jackson is good enough for your team, good enough to take into next year because you have a decision at quarterback. You have a decision at quarterback. And if you look at the Minnesota Vikings right now, they have no shot at the playoffs. They're pretty much out of it. They're playing off the string. And in a lot of ways, you're just throwing Brett Favre out there. And ultimately, it's all about the streak. And you know Leslie Frazier, the interim head coach for the Vikings. He's not going to come out and sit Brett Favre. He's trying to get a job. So he's not going to be. No one wants to be that guy that is the guy that sits Brett Favre out and a guy that ends his streak. No one wants to be that guy. No one wants to be that guy. No one wants to be that guy. And Leslie Frazier is not going to be that guy. And in a lot of ways, you've got guys like Brett Favre, guys like Joe Paterno. Some people believe in a lot of ways these are guys who should dictate their own terms of whether or not and whether and how they should go out. And there is some truth to that. I do agree with that school of thought on some level, but I also think the onus sometimes falls on a Brett Favre, falls on a Joe Paterno. And you're the guy that has to sometimes make the difficult decision and take the decision out of the hands of the coach, out of the hands of the athletic directors and the colleges. But you yourself have to make the decision and step up and say, you know what? And I'm not saying Joe Paterno still can't get it done, but I'm saying Brett Favre at this point, he is retiring. It's done for him. And this is his last year. And I'm saying right now, and looking at that, I believe that it's time for Brett. The onus may have to be on a Brett Favre to make the decision and to say, you know what, Coach Frazier, I'm hurt. I can't get it done. It's time to end the streak. And maybe Brett Favre has to do that. Whether he will do that is another story, because I believe right now he wants to, that streak is important to him. That streak is very important to him. And with that being said, since that streak is very important to him, it means a lot to him. Because of that, he is going to want to continue to play. He's going to want to continue to play. And he's going to want to continue to build and build and build and build on that streak. That's what he wants to do. And he wants to be put in a situation, he wants to be in a situation where, well, no one more than likely is going to break or match this streak. This is an unprecedented streak. This is a streak, considering the dangers, considering how physical football is. This is a situation where this is amazing how this guy is able to play in 298 straight games, regular season games, not even including the playoffs. But this is amazing how he's able to do that. This is as a quarterback, you're a sitting duck in a lot of ways. There's times where you're going to have to stick in that pocket and brace yourself and try to take a hit in order to get the ball down the field. In order to get that touchdown, in order to hit that open guy, you're going to have to stand in there. In a lot of ways, and standing in there, you become a sitting duck. You're sitting duck. And so that's very impressive, to play a game as physical, as rough as football, the way Brett Favre has played and what Brett Favre has done. His streak is amazing. It's definitely an amazing streak. But just like everything in life, all good things must come to an end. And it's my opinion that at this point, this great streak must come to an end. It must come to an end. It has to come to an end. It's time now. It's time now. And you're hoping, you're wishing, and maybe some are praying that Brett Favre will put the onus on himself and make the decision to say, you know what, I'm hurt. I can't help you win. I can only hurt you. I need to sit out. Coach Frazier, this is not your decision. This is my decision. I'm sitting out, and the streak is over. That's what you hope will happen. But I think anybody that says this is not about the streak, at this point, with your team completely out of it, with your team at 5-7, and essentially out of it, essentially out of the playoff race, no one can sit here and tell us that this is not about the streak. No one. No one. No one can sit here and tell us that. You can't. You can't. Now, everybody can spin it, oh, Brett Favre is competitor, Brett Favre is this, Brett Favre is that, Brett Favre does this and did this and or so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. But the reality of it is right now, Brett Favre is 41 years old. The reality of it is right now, Brett Favre has a shoulder injury. The reality of it is right now, Brett Favre is soft tossing the ball at practices right now. The reality of this whole situation is this. It's time for this streak to end. And it's time for Brett Favre to make the decision, stand up, man up, make the decision, and say, you know what? You know what? Coach Frazier, I cannot go. Well, let me know what you think on that whole Brett Favre situation. How should this play out? Should the Vikings sit him down, or should Brett Favre sit his own self down and make the decision and take the decision out of the hands of the franchise? So let me know what you think on that particular situation. Also, this is Heisman Saturday, and Cam Newton, quarterback from Auburn, the odds-on favorite to win this Heisman Trophy. And it would be a miracle if he doesn't. I mean, you have guys like Andrew Luck, LaMichael James, and Kellen Moore, who also are involved in the mix. But let's be honest here. This is about Cam Newton and this whole situation. And Cam Newton definitely will be the Heisman Trophy winner. And there's no doubt about that. There's definitely no doubt about that. And the whole situation with his father, apparently, allegedly, his father tried to pull off a play-for-pay scheme with Mississippi State where he tried to say, you know what, if my son Cam Newton is coming to your college, Mississippi State, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay. Those are the allegations against his father, and it turns out the NCAA decided Cam Newton would be allowed to continue to play, but his father's access to Auburn would be limited. Now, at this point, there's belief now that the NCAA believes that Cecil Newton, Cam Newton's father, definitely tried to get money from Mississippi State. That's what they believe. And but they also said that they believe that Cam Newton didn't know about it. He didn't know about it. And that's a tough one to swallow. You mean to tell me that quite possibly you don't know that your father is trying to negotiate some kind of payment for you in order for you to go to a particular school, that your father wants a level of compensation? That is kind of hard for me to say. So that's kind of hard for me to fathom, that Cam Newton doesn't know that his father was trying to get money from different colleges, mainly Mississippi State, in order for his son to play there. That to me is something that, you know, I don't know. But call me crazy, call me stupid. But you would almost think that Cam Newton would know that his father is doing these things. I guess there's an outside possibility that he doesn't know. I guess. But it's kind of hard for me to believe. And also, his father, Cecil Newton, will not be at the Heisman ceremony tonight. But Cam's mother and his two siblings will be there. His two brothers, they definitely will be there. But the dad will not be there. And according to a statement from his father said he will not attend, and Cam believes that his father is doing it for him. And his father, I guess in a lot of ways, does not want to draw any more attention to himself. And in a lot of ways, I guess he wants to say this is his son's night. This is about his son and not about him. So with all that being said, and hearing all that, I think if Cam wanted his father there, he said he wanted his father there, but I think it's a good move by his dad to stay away. You don't want to draw any more attention to yourself. You just want to stay away and let it be about the kid. And the kid, meaning Cam Newton, let it be about him. And let it be about him ultimately becoming the 2010 Heisman Trophy winner. Because I can pretty much guarantee, I can guarantee that Cam Newton will win the Heisman. But that's not really saying much. He's accounted for 49 touchdowns, and he's led Auburn to a 13-0 record. So, with all that being said, we don't need to wait till tonight to figure out and to understand and to know who the 2010 Heisman Trophy winner will be. We don't need to wait till tonight. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Cam Newton will win the 2010 Heisman Trophy. Believe me when I say it, he will win. Now the question becomes whether he'll keep it. That's the big question with the investigation being closed, but they can open it if any new evidence surfaces concerning his father and the whole pay-for-play situation. And whether or not Cam knew about it and knew about the situation. Whether or not he keeps the Heisman Trophy is the big question. He'll win it. But the question is whether or not he'll keep it. And we'll definitely see what happens with that whole situation and how that whole situation plays out. But the reality of it is, he has done it on the field. He has won it essentially on the field. And whatever happens, happens. Because whatever happens with the NCAA, NCAA, whatever they do, whatever they decide, I really don't care. The reality of the Heisman Committee, I really don't care. The reality of it is he did it on the field. He did what he had to do. And he is the highest 2010 Heisman Trophy winner. And I know they stripped it from Reggie Bush. But as far as I'm concerned, Reggie Bush is the 2006 Heisman Trophy winner. And whether or not it says it, whether or not he has the trophy, he is the 2006 Heisman Trophy winner. The hypocrisy that exists with the NCAA is numerous. And so as far as I'm concerned, if he won it on the field, and he deserves it, and he should keep it. And anybody who says otherwise, that's what you say, it's fine. But the reality of it is, this guy, Reggie Bush, is a 2006 Heisman Trophy winner, and Cam Newton will be the 2010 Heisman Trophy winner, and he will keep it, in my mind, whether he keeps it with all these allegations swirling around, whether he keeps it is another story. But as far as I'm concerned, He will. It is the 2010 Heisman Trophy winner. But if you look at the Heisman Trophy, I mean, at this point, you know, you look at it and you say to yourself, really, has it lost its luster? Has it lost its luster at this point? Has it lost its luster? And I said 2006 for Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was actually the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner. So let me correct that and clarify that. Reggie Bush is a 2005 Heisman Trophy winner. And as far as I'm concerned, a 2005 Heisman Trophy winner will still continue to be Reggie Bush. I don't care what the record books say. I don't care what the Heisman Committee says. I don't care what anybody says. As far as I'm concerned, the guy earned it on the field. He is the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner. That's Reggie Bush. No one else, Reggie Bush. And if you want to give it to whoever else, that's your prerogative. But as far as I'm concerned, the Heisman was won by Reggie, was earned by Reggie. Therefore, Reggie Bush is the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner, even though it was taken away from him by the Heisman Committee. But again, whatever. When it comes to that, the big thing is, whatever. And that's the way I look at it. Whatever. whatever. I want to go to basketball. I want to go back to the NBA for a second. I want to congratulate George Karl, Denver Nuggets head coach. Last night, he earned his 1,000th victory. Becomes the seventh coach to do it. Right now, in terms of, he's seventh on the list. Behind Larry Brown, behind Phil Jackson, behind Jerry Sloan, behind Pat Riley, behind Lenny Wilkins, and behind the all-time leader, Don Nelson. But if you look at George Karl, you're kind of rooting for the guy. He had a situation last year. He survived prostate cancer back in 2005. He also was treated for neck and throat cancer earlier this year. So the guy has definitely been through a lot. And the guy has persevered. And the guy has continued to battle, continue to fight, and continue to beat this cancer thing. He continues to continue to coach, and continues to win. And right now, last night, 1,000 career victories. And if you look at it, you got to be pretty happy for the guy, considering all the things that he's been through, all the things that he's experienced. He has somehow, some way fought, and somehow, some way got it done, and hopefully somehow, some way won those 1,000 games despite those many illnesses, despite the cancer, despite all those things. He has found a way to get it done, and ultimately he has found a way to win 1,000 games. And that's a testament to him, testament to his players. And you just hope that he continues to fight and beat this evil, evil monster they call cancer. You just hope that he continues to fight it, and continues to beat it. You really do. You really, really do. And you definitely root for a guy like George Karl. You definitely root for a guy like George Karl. You definitely root for me. You're definitely excited that George Karl has won his 1,000th game. Took a few games to get it done. He was stuck at $9.99 for a few games, but he finally got it done last night. And kudos to George Karl. I read an interesting story about the New Jersey Nets' Terrence Williams. Terrence Williams was sent down from the NBA to the D League, the NBDL, and that was a punishment from the Nets for being late to practices, shoot-arounds, and meetings. And if you look at the situation, Terrence Williams pretty much was sent down for a lack of professionalism, for not being professional. He was sent down for not being a professional. And the ball boy, Christian Gonzalez, Jr., 13 years old, approached Terrence and talked to Terrence. And talking to Terrence, he basically, he was quoted as saying, hey, I told him you made a mistake. You shouldn't feel like you're down here because you're not a good ball player. You need to learn from it. If I was him, I wouldn't want to be down here. I'd do anything to stay in the NBA. And he approached him, and he basically told him. And he told him the truth. He told him the truth. I mean, not everybody gets an opportunity to play in the NBA. Not everybody gets that opportunity. Not everybody gets that opportunity. You need to take advantage of it. And Terrence Williams, and hearing that, and hearing that whole thing, basically said this was an awakening. It woke him up. and hopefully to wake him up to a point to help him realize that, son, a lot of people want this opportunity to be in the NBA. A lot of people want the glitz, the glamour, the fame, the wealth that comes with playing in the NBA. But there's a lot of people that don't want to do what it takes to stay in the league, do what it takes to be a professional. A lot of people don't want to do that. And you look at Terrence Williams, when he went to the D-League and played three games for the Springfield Armor, he averaged 28 points, over 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. He was basically Oscar Robertson of the D-League during his short stint there. He was the Oscar Robertson of the D-League during those three games. And, you know, you got to understand that there's an opportunity of a lifetime when you play in the NBA. When you play any professional sport, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. A lot of people don't get that opportunity. A lot of people don't get the opportunity to be able to travel to various cities in the country, to be able to afford big houses, fast cars. A lot of people don't get that opportunity to pretty much get paid a whole lot of money, a boatload of money, to essentially play a kid's game. And hopefully this is a wake-up call for Terrence. And hopefully this doesn't have to get shut down again. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. He's willing to take advantage of his opportunity to be in the NBA. Because there are a lot of guys in the D-League. There are a lot of guys in Europe. There are a lot of guys all over the world who will love the opportunity. I mean, you got guys who are willing to go to Turkey, like an Allen Iverson. You got guys who are willing to play in any country to get prolong their NBA of their career, and ultimately to get another shot at the NBA. So this guy is dying for that opportunity. Not literally dying, but going and working hard for that opportunity to be in the NBA. But sometimes in life, you have to get something snatched away from you in order for you to really truly appreciate what you have and what you've been given. So hopefully Terrence Williams has learned his lesson. He's back with the big club. And hopefully for his sake, he stays there. Hopefully he'll stay there. And he'll take advantage of the opportunity of being in the National Basketball Association, the NBA. Hopefully. And I want to go back to the fight real quick. Big fight tonight, Marcos Maidana, Amir Khan. This is an interesting fight because the winner of this fight probably will be in line to face the winner of Bradley and Alexander. That fight will happen in January. So this is going to be, it's almost like a little junior welterweight tournament here. You figure if Khan or Maidana win tonight, they're probably going to face the winner of Bradley and Alexander. So this should be interesting to see what happens here tonight. And it is Amir Khan, Akon, or is Amir Khan the truth and is he legitimate? We'll see tonight. I mean, he fought Paulie Malignaggi on U.S. soil for the first time, his first time fighting on U.S. soil. And it was against Paulie Malignaggi, a salt-hitting guy. Now he's going up against a guy who hits a little harder and a guy that may hit that questionable chin that Khan has. But we'll definitely see what happens with that fight tonight. It's a fight I'm looking forward to and a fight I'm very interested in seeing, and it should answer some questions in terms of the junior welterweight division. We want to thank Andre Berto for stopping by. Andre coming off an impressive performance. We want to definitely thank him for stopping by and wish him nothing but the best of luck. And we'd love to see Andre in the ring against Manny Pacquiao at some point. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/TKN. That's blogtalkradio.com/behance, where you can listen to this show and other shows. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at GoForItGames. And we want to thank everyone for listening. I'm your brother for calling in, tossing it in. And I want you to have a great day, a great night. And you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pinkin. See you later.